On this episode, I talk about where I have been, what I've been up to, and particularly the books I've been reading. This is how legends are made. So as a quick update, episodes, where have they been? Or where, more importantly, where have I been? Well, there's lots of things been happening since the beginning of the year for me, and it's been so tumultuous. So lots of challenges involved, lots of issues, a lot of personal self-development, as much as relationship changes, that the first 6 months have basically been crap. There's some good things have come out of it, there's been real positives, so there's nothing negative in that sense. Certain things haven't gone the way I'd hoped them to, a lot of it out of my control. But what that has meant is that I've had to focus on myself and my needs, and that has then meant I need to pare down what I was doing, and obviously focusing on my needs, personal development, children, and work, the episodes have had to be put to one side. Now, I have been on Instagram doing lots of work on there, so you can go back and check. I've been putting up quotes there, little videos, bits that I could achieve for you, but longer pieces like this have been a bit of a struggle to put together. But if you don't want to go to Instagram, let me just give you a bit of a précis of some of the key findings from the last 6 months. One has been that I've been taking up counselling, not as a counsellor, but as the counsellee, as the client. Came to light at the beginning of the year that I need to address some issues in myself, my past histories of my behaviours. I would offer them to be small in what they are, nothing major, but they had major impacts, and I needed to address those. And that was a process that took around 6 sessions of time with the counsellor to get through. But I also was involved in a lot of kind of personal development behind the scenes, sort of personal work, journaling, reading, reflecting, really looking to explore why I'd done what I'd done, how far back it had gone, and really what I needed to do to change it. And this is actually out of, you know, curiosity, was that it was all centered to do with relationships, about how I was approaching them, how I was acting within them. It was actually, to be fair, only a small part of what I was doing, and it was one that had a larger impact. Nevertheless, it caused the breakdown and the death of my previous relationship, and therefore it really was one I wanted to attend to, not for external reasons, but for my personal reasons. I no longer wanted to be that person. I wanted to evolve into someone I was prouder to be, happier to be. And I speak to you in June, and that's where I am now. Certainly not the finished piece, but substantially not the person I was. Substantially happier for the choices I've now made. So the counselling was really pivotal in that, plus my own personal development outside of it. And I've walked away from that period stronger, humbler than before, and maybe a little bit wiser too. And I think the wisdom has come from really thinking about my own journey of learning. And actually some of the things that I did behind the scenes outside of the counselling sessions was to do a lot of reading, a lot of understanding. And I got excited again about kind of learning. And so I began to pick up a few counselling books and just got to familiarise myself with some of the kind of the key texts, key theories, because I think, you know, I really, when I've connected with the material, it's been really enjoyable. I thought, well, that's really informative about myself, and maybe in a gentle, delicate way might inform some of the coaching. So I've picked up a few of the initial kind of reading list books on counselling just to understand it better, because I got so much from it. I can say that after the 6 months of work that I have gone on for myself, that the key things that started the therapy, started the counselling, the reasons that put me in that space, I've now come through onto the other side, in that I now have already acted in a way that was different to how I was. And the truth is, I acted in the way that I should have done this time last year, if not earlier this time last year. So 12 months on, I look back and I'm now doing what I should have done 12 months ago. And as difficult as it is to accept that, I can't help but smile, realizing that I am able to at least do that. I still notice being optimistic enough to say, well, you are doing it. You have achieved that. 12 months too late, maybe, but better late than never. The only other thing to mention aside that, just because I want to kind of share, is that the finalizing of the financials of my divorce have been taking up my time as well. Not that there's anything negative inside that at all. It's all very positive, but it's taken a lot of time and effort to resolve and sort out, as you may or may not be familiar with. It's been something that's been rumbling since 2014. It's been there for a while, but now we're coming to a head to resolve the final financials. And that takes time and takes effort. And there's only so many hours in a day, and you're looking to juggle everything else. So that's been a big part of it for me. So in these episodes, I wanted to return to, as much as I can, again, a bit of maybe a daily journaling, daily logging in of what's been going on for me to share. And maybe there's something that comes from that, maybe a quote I can expand on, then I'll use this as a way to explain it further. To give you a bit of highlight on the reading I've been done, I thought it'd be quite useful because there's quite a few books in there which are, you know, each of them came at the right time. What's that expression that says that, you know, once the student is ready, the master arrives, something like that. And certainly that felt that way for me. I think particularly that four books that kind of seemed to kind of like line up for me, which were perfectly placed to kind of guide me through this bit of my journey I needed to go through. And the kind of the first two books were by the same author, Brené Brown, which you may have heard of. If you haven't, Google her, find her books, find her at a TEDx talk, because it's really worth understanding her research into vulnerability and bravery and being empathetic and open to your own needs, but also to other people's needs as well. So the books that I read were Rising Strong and Daring Greatly, both touching on similar themes regarding shame, guilt, and vulnerability. But her approach and her understanding about how not only one recognizing what it is, but why it's so important that we can break through our vulnerability barrier, why it's so important that we step on the other side of that. As scary as it is, it's important that we can try to understand what motivates us and realize that in fact that we really desire from other people to be open and honest and authentic with us. And we drink off that sometimes, but it's amazing how in reverse we aren't so willing to do that. We don't want to be vulnerable and share. And this book came across, these two books came across my time where I needed to breach those boundaries. I needed to come on the other side of that and, you know, present myself in an honest and authentic way so that I could be seen for my story, for who I am. And it's about recognizing that our story is important, it's valuable. It may be messy, it may be broken, it may be imperfect, but it's still your story that you need to hang on to and own. And the ownership of that story, those feelings or emotions, is about announcing who you are. It's about saying, this is who I am, this is my truth. Maybe it's ugly, maybe it's messy, but it is my story. And if you can't accept that, then that's absolutely fine. But I'm sharing with you because the sharing is more important than the reception of how it's received. That may sound obvious to many, but for me, it was a step that I had kept away from for a very long time. So these two books really helped me kind of open these very old doors to kind of help me get through that, practice it more, but also ground it in the reasons why. And I think sometimes we can emotionally understand something, but we need to kind of like cognitively understand something, and this combination helped me get through. And the other book that I just kind of really just latched onto, maybe not the actual kind of audio book because I wasn't too sure of the voice kind of jarred with me, but the content, is the book called Attached by Amir Levy. You can check it out, it'll be on Amazon, I'm sure. I'll only endorse it in the sense of what it contains as its material. It's a book that very few books will actually give my children to read at the right stage and age for them. This is going to be one of them. It outlines an amazing theory which had been put forward by John Bowlby, I think a psychologist or psychoanalyst. I have to go back and check, I'm not sure. But John Bowlby, very powerful within counseling and in therapy work, who put forward a theory of attachment, how as children we are raised defines how we then create attachments as we grow up through our teenage years and into later life. He identified, three areas for how we attach to other people or how we respond to attachment relationships. I'm probably not explaining this very well, so that's why you can read the book. But he did identify three areas. And this was a light bulb moment in how I believe I operate, how I sometimes operate, and where I found myself struggling. Anyway, the three characteristics of attachment theory are a secure type, a avoidant type, and then an anxious type. Each three have their own different ways of operating, and there's no judgment to say they're right or wrong. I would say that probably there are some more useful approaches than others. So in a Precy, the avoidant type in a relationship is someone who retracts away from a certain level of intimacy, getting close. It makes them more uncomfortable. They like to have more independence and more space. And in fact, the closer you get, the more they retreat because they find it uncomfortable. The whole reason behind that, read the book, you'll find out. The secure type is the one who is completely self-aware, knows what they're after, isn't into game playing, can securely announce how they feel and their intentions, and not fearful of a response, and within a relationship is able to share their needs and their wants and desires in a way that assumes that it will be received in a positive form on the other side, or that they are secure enough not to be judged or lessen their self-worth. Secure sound amazing people. And then the final or the third category was the anxious attachment type. And this is one where when someone's retreating from us, someone's going to bring some distance, we feel threatened by that, and we need to then crave more attention. We can, maybe the expression is getting needy, we can like search for more affirmation and validation from the other person because we are feeling that love going away. It creates anxiety, doubts, worries, and eventually we can also, depending where you are, break apart from that relationship because you're feeling so threatened, so the anxiety becomes a block. As I say, read the book to find out more. However, it was interesting how, and there are tests online for this, how I came across initially as the secure type, a strong secure. Yet I know that in practice, I do operate at that level, and it's like it's a very strong first point of me. But fascinating is that when in a relationship, love retreats in some form, I go to an anxious state. Now that could be because the other person acts in a certain way, but I kind of head out in the best intentions. But what can happen is if that person starts changing in some way, retreating, retracting, I quickly in the past have gone to an anxious state where I begin to panic or worry, get concerned. And I think, you know, as bold as it may be, say I can get a bit needy. I find that I'm looking to get affirmations and validation back in the relationship and therefore will operate or behave in a way that, you know, maybe isn't as secure as I'd like to be or I can be. So for me, that gave me some real understanding about myself because, well, I'm still learning that because I recognize how I can improve my secure characteristics, how I can actually kind of reinforce those more and become aware more when on that tipping edge of falling into an anxious kind of character trait or state. So attachment, or so the book Attached, check it out, very useful. And the last one that I'm finding very interesting, I'm still reading through, is by Gabor Mate, and this is about When the Body Says No, which I think is the title. And this book is about literally understanding that the stresses, the emotions that we keep within us, or how we define ourselves within our family or professional way, if we are holding on to stress or anxiety or any form of an emotion that is negative in some way or difficult to manage, manifests itself physically in ailments. Mate's work goes on to describe how our approach, emotional approach to situations, can have an effect not only in the immediate but into later life. He discusses how certain situations we get exposed to as children, difficult situations, trauma, challenges, can affect later life. He talks about cancers, he talks about Alzheimer's and dementia. I'm about a third of the way into a very large book, but it's fascinating to really finally connect the science to the mind, body, spirit aspect of our holistic health, how what we do retain within ourselves can have an amazing negative effect physically, but not just colds or flus, but in long-term illnesses, chronic illnesses. And so I'm reading it, I'm finding it fascinating. It's actually, if anything, so far, helped me approach talking to my children about how they're feeling, giving them space, creating space for them to share their frustrations, happiness or sadness, whatever it may be, but really invite them to kind of create that so that they can share what's going on for them. Though he hasn't come to any conclusions or major guidance, that's what I've extracted so far, in that creating space to talk about how we're feeling, to move these feelings out. One of the things he mentions actually is about kind of retaining anger. If we aren't able to dispense of that anger in a healthy way, holding it in can be very detrimental to us. So using what I've read so far as knowledge, I'm looking to apply that not just to myself, but to the kids, because I think there's something that's going to be beneficial to them that they can try out and use. So in this episode, that's what I was going to talk about, kind of the books I've read, the bit of a journey been going on, and I'm not going to make a promise that I can do a daily episode. I'd love to, and I'll hopefully make them as honest and as authentic as possible, even if that means that all I did today was go for a run and make a load of client calls, and that's the 2-minute episode, then so be it. But I'm looking to embrace that part. So I hope you found that interesting. I hope you found that a little more different, less guidance, but more just sharing. And if you have enjoyed it, please subscribe, like, and drop me a comment if you can. That'd be great. You can find me on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, wherever. Love to hear from you. Other than that, take care wherever you are. This is how legends are made.